right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John.
Hey now.
So I just opened basketballreference.com, and there's an ad for the one worst carb that causes weight gain after age 50, and it shows three different profiles of a person, and the one next to morbid obesity, potentially deadly, is basically my body double. So I want to cancel the podcast and go for a jog.
John needs to jog.
At what point are the Google ads going to start pulling your own pictures from Facebook?
This is essentially that.
Because that's been the big news, too. Have you guys downloaded your Facebook data?
No.
Where you can download the data that Facebook has kept on you, and it'll be like, oh, here's a bunch of pictures from my phone that I never uploaded.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Whoa.
I think Facebook is an arm of the Kremlin. There's just no question about it at this point.
I think they're their own arm.
They've been infiltrated.
It's Tom from MySpace, Kim Philby.
Ooh.
I'm trying to figure it out. I guess I haven't freaked out about Facebook because it was free, so I figured they were doing something
terrible,
horrendous. Yeah. Like, why are they giving us this for free?
Yeah, if you don't pay for the product, you are the product.
Yeah, there is a price.
There's a price for everything.
There was a guy I knew in college who, you know, we were distant Facebook friends. Never communicated one time. However, his final post did show up in my feed. It was like, I worked for Google for 5 years, and I got to get out of it. I can't believe the stuff both them and Facebook are doing. It's horrifying. I'm not going to say anything here, but get at me off of Facebook if you want to know more about it. But for now, I'm deleting my social media presence. I'm pretty terrified.
Wow.
And I was like, I haven't talked to this guy in 12 years. I don't know how to track him down to find out what this was, but...
Send him a letter.
The whole I've been working for Google for 5 years and I'm getting out. I'm horrified by what's coming.
My dad worked for Big Pharma and had a nervous breakdown because he found out too much stuff.
Oh man!
Oh, the insider.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've found out awful things on Facebook. Like friends have died, but the internet didn't tell me. I just went to their page and found out they were dead.
Facebook also hasn't fixed the, hey, you became friends with so-and-so 10 years ago. You're like, yeah, he's not around anymore.
No, that person is a dead person now. Yeah, we tagged you in a photo with this dead person. But hey, man, it's that's how we'll live forever. It's all on the cloud.
Cool.
Well, taking it to somewhere happier, I won my first ever fantasy basketball league ever.
Congrats, buddy.
I mean, I've only been playing for 3 years, but... It was. I feel pretty good. Now I'm pretty confident. Won a little bit of money.
Hey now.
My wife was like, "That's like what? Like 30 cents? You know, an hour for what you put in?" I'm like, "Yeah,
come on,
slightly
wifey.
Better than podcast money.
Slightly."
Ooh, this podcast money's coming in droves.
So, I feel like people make too big of a deal about the. You put so much time into that. You really don't. Do you put that much time into fantasy basketball?
I will say I do. Like our waiver wire claims go through at 10 a.m.
and then you're done.
I will say, but from like 9 to 10 a.m., I'm thinking hard. Even if I've studied the night before, I'm like, what am I going to miss?
More of a like, take care of my fantasy while I'm taking care of other business type of guy.
Oh,
and I do mean the morning constitution.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say. Talking about I do mean raising my children.
Do same. Yeah, I put very little time or effort into anything.
Correct.
Full stop.
Yeah. Full stop. Speaking of a little time and effort, another fun thing I did, this is just on my mind. I never done this before. I considered it cheating or like morally dubious. I used the Chipotle app to order ahead. Like every time I'm at Chipotle,
it's a line cutting app, right?
It's a line cutting app, and I do it everywhere else I go. Like I call in my order anywhere I go, but I never done it with Chipotle. I finally did it. It was glorious. I'm not getting any money from Chipotle. I wish I was.
Did you get to have
diarrhea?
That knowing look and wonderful conversation?
It was just
with
great,
the people
man.
That know you so well.
No,
did you lose that part of it?
I did. Well, they built that new Chipotle right by my house to replace the one that was just by my house.
Mm-hmm. Block away.
They got one even closer, and I don't know those people yet. Their service is terrible at the newest one, which is what led me to the. You know what? I'm finally going to use this app, and it was amazing. Yeah. Just walked right in, walked up. They're like, "Hey, are you Keith? Yes,
it's a Chipotle in an old bank."
Yeah.
Whenever I go in there, I just want to rob the place.
Might as well.
Give me all your guac.
I want it.
That's pretty good.
Anyway, expensive, priceless guac.
Speaking of Chipotle, did you guys have breakfast?
Oh man, I went in today. Keith, you'd love this breakfast.
Tell me more.
Gas station.
Oh,
but this gas station.
Roasters!
Didn't do the broasters, though. I was in a rush. I grabbed me a Krispy Kreme honey bun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was something else. It was the same.
What kind was it? The kind that looked like Princess Leia's hair on the side of her head?
Yeah, but the size of your face. Oh, this honey bun the size of your face.
Oh, wow.
But it's the same. This ties into another discovery that I made at the same gas station. I found the Twix ice cream bar.
Oh.
My friends, it was a revelation. There's very few things that are better ice cream-wise than a Snickers ice cream bar.
I was gonna say, you cheating on your Snickers bar.
John and I had have a love affair. We're both in this weird love triangle with Snickers bars.
Well, actually, this was Chuck's dark secret that I sussed out, where Chuck just has, like, in the freezer, on the company tab, just boxes of Snickers ice cream bars.
I have a box.
Well, that's a lot of Snickers ice cream bar for one man.
8 Snickers ice cream bars, and it usually lasts me 4
And Chuck
hours.
Only gave it to me because he panically said, if you don't eat one of these, I'm going to eat all of these.
Yeah, so I ate 7 instead of 8 that day. But the next day, no, I ate 6 instead of 8. The next day, I had a single Snickers bar left on the truck. I had it. And then was like a junkie.
Yeah, appetizer.
Got to go get another fix. So I go to the gas station to find my Snicker love, and I see, like in a glowing light, the Twix bar.
So what are they replacing with ice cream in the Twix?
They have that crunchy thing.
The wafer.
The wafer.
Yeah, I was curious.
So
wafer,
it's
no peanuts.
Hella, yeah, so there's no peanuts. It's hella wafer, hella caramel.
Caramel, can you spell?
And then the ice cream with the very thin chocolate, like dipping.
That sounds really good. Breakfast of champions.
I mean, and it's got that texture. It's got all the caramel you want from the, you know, Snickers.
And you put it on the bar's expenses.
I mean, no. That stuff I buy. I can't write that off. Anything I get at Kroger, though,
oh, gotcha.
I can sneak in. It's just washing money.
It's pretty good.
That's all it is.
I love that.
This is all going in my RICO warrant.
Don't worry. Those people, they don't listen to anything.
They don't listen to me.
He was running illicit goods out of his truck, but we got him for the Twix bar.
That's right.
Right.
That's how boxes upon boxes of Snickers bars.
My breakfast, my son and I have been making smoothies, as suggested by, he has this Kids Highlights magazine. If you remember Highlights, there's one for kids. It's amazing.
Is that like Ranger Rick, but without all the animal porn?
I don't know the reference enough. Mm. I'm not quite sure what a Ranger Rick is. It's like a Boy Scouts magazine?
Yeah, you didn't have Ranger Rick, Chuck? This is just me?
No, I had Captain Kangaroo.
This is a magazine.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
No, when
I was a child, I got Ranger Rick, which I think was like a Boy Scouts magazine, which I had already been kicked out of Boy Scouts, so that's kind of creepy that my parents didn't cancel that one.
Mm.
So it was just Ranger Rick, WWE, or WWF magazine back then. Mm-hmm. And then if you didn't get this one, I don't respect you. SI for kids.
No.
I didn't get any magazines.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine, you know?
Oh.
And The Source.
No. You shouldn't have been. Those messed you up.
East Bay was huge.
No. East Bay.
East Bay, the shoe magazine.
Yeah.
Right.
So you get all the shoes that I could never afford to buy.
No.
I'd watch. Yeah, it was all about rappers.
Mine was, the service merchandise catalog.
Awesome.
Oh, that was about it. Yeah. That was
my mom and dad. The only thing they ever subscribed to was Reader's Digest and Catholic Digest, which is basically Reader's Digest, but far more shame.
I had so many magazine subscriptions thanks to Camel Points.
Yeah, if my dad could get anything, he would have, but he had no vices like that.
I mean, my dad had Camel Points playing card sets and duffel bags.
Dude.
If you look at how many cigarette proof of purchases it takes to get stuff like that, it makes Dave & Buster's look like a deal. I mean, it takes like $40 billion to get that Joe Cool duffel bag.
Yeah.
I'm like $20,000 more dollars spent at a M Life casino away from getting like a buffet.
Ooh.
It's really like you've been coming for 5 years. You've almost earned a buffet.
And it's hard for me to get like 10 stamps on a Subway, you know, card.
Anyway, smoothies is what we were making. So today we made a strawberry banana. Little touch of cinnamon, little dash of cinnamon in there.
Look at that.
It was tasty. A little splash of OJ kind of made it.
I like it. Look at you.
It was really good.
Messing with flavors.
Little guy doesn't love the blender when it goes, so he hunkers down in his room.
No, I get it.
So he throws all the ingredients in. He's like, not yet, not yet. And he goes and hides. And then he's like, okay, now.
What about like vacuum cleaners and stuff like that?
A vacuum cleaner, it's more of a kind of mouth agape. That's interesting.
Right.
But also that would mean he'd have to see a vacuum cleaner. And from being in the baby dungeon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's
what
not
about
a lot of
when mommy cleaner. And daddy are wrestling?
Yeah. With the vacuum cleaner. It is
sure.
It is part
whatever
of
you're
of
into.
Healthy,
call it whatever you want.
Of a healthy couple wrestling. John, what was your breakfast?
Well, I at first I was feeling really bad about my breakfast until Chuck just kind of came in and rescued me from myself.
You're welcome.
Because I should be doing like some kind of smoothie like you, Keith. But I have physical therapy today, and I'm so afraid of it. And I get so stressed out about it that it leads me to go get like my nostalgic comfort food from my childhood on the way there, which is brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts.
Oh, ooh. Nice.
I just go into the gas station, or in this case it was a Kroger, buy the box, throw away all but one of the packages. I know this is some disgusting white people stuff.
It is.
But I have to ensure that I don't eat all of these over the course of a day. Mm-hmm. Should have just brought them to you guys.
I would have crushed them.
And I had it, and it did make me feel a little bit better before a physical therapist savaged my body.
Currently, my body is rejecting all the sugar. A little bit of energy that I got minutes after eating it has turned into like almost
sloth,
like depression. Like this is like I want to take a nap. Yeah, but that might be my depression.
Lethargy and depression.
Right. Wilford Brimley-esque diabetes.
Speaking of depression, after our breakfast, we move to our. I don't know if that segue doesn't really work.
No, it's fine.
After our breakfast,
I get pretty sad when I say I'm sorry.
We move to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. It is often the first time we talk about the NBA, which is ostensibly the subject of this podcast.
I think we do NBA talk here, but I'm not doing. I'm going to apologize to anything NBA related.
Okay,
I kind
of go ahead, Chuck.
I kind of went out I stepped on my soapbox last week about hot sauce, saying you can't refrigerate hot sauce. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. You can. Some hot sauces, it's recommended to extend the flavor to refrigerate them. The ones that I, frequent, Cholula.
Yeah.
You know, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Tapatio.
Uh-huh.
Sriracha. They're, okay. You know, they say it doesn't matter, really. But there are certain ones that, the labeling says. So what
is refrigeration going to make it last longer?
See, but that's, I don't know. I mean, who knows? It's all, you know, I mean, sure, we can do a science experiment. When my son's in, you know, middle school, I'm having him for a science fair.
Make a hot sauce volcano.
Mm.
Or just take him to a hibachi grill.
Oh, he doesn't like fire. While Keith's kid doesn't like blenders, my kid hates fire. So, like, hibachi, when they do the, like, volcano train.
What the?
He's like, is it the hound?
Come on.
The mountain?
Yeah.
The mountain.
Is the hound? Which one is
the
it?
The hound.
The hound.
Yeah, with the
doesn't,
hound.
Doesn't like
burnt.
The fire at your son at the hibachi grill?
Yeah. So it kind of looks, yeah, he just isn't a fan of it. I don't blame
not
him.
Not a Gilbert Arenas man.
Yeah. How does he feel about the Billy Joel classic, We Didn't Start the Fire? JFK, blown away. What else do I have to say?
I don't know, but he really loves I Believe I Can Fly by R. Kelly.
All right.
So,
that is straight fire.
And then I will I will also soon enough play him the Ignition remix.
Oh, yeah.
What age is Ignition remix enough?
Well, like, R. Kelly would tell you very young indeed.
My apology goes to the Indiana Pacers. Had a really fun interview last week with Caitlin Cooper.
She was incredible.
She was a great guest.
What is up with the Cheerios and no milk thing?
Well, that's fine.
We need to have her back.
That's the thing. That's a good
superhero name.
That's an on the go type thing. Throwing the cup.
I get it, but that's just it just seems like it should be.
But
illegal.
Anyway, I was talking about the Pacers and talking about how they've played at a faster pace this year, and that was kind of early in the year. It was brought to my attention. The Pacers are actually the slowest paced team in the NBA since January 1st. Chris Herring pointed that out to me, not individually.
Chris Herring or Chris Herrington?
Chris Herring of the ESPN 538.
I get confused.
Yeah, they'll throw you off. But anyway, the Pacers.
One of those guys needs a stage name of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Nom de plume.
It's easy to keep apart.
Okay.
It isn't Ben Dowsett and Ben Golliver, which I do get very confused because they look the same in their little Twitter profiles.
Ah.
I always get John Burr confused with Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
Ah, exactly.
Because they look so alike.
Yep. Anyway, the Pacers did start the season playing at a very fast pace, but has since fallen off. Currently, they're 22nd in pace. But again, I fell trapped to that initial first impression of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Oladipo stuck in looks my brain. Very fast.
You paid attention to the first lap of the race.
It just shows
the
how
pace car.
I pay attention. The Pacers' pace. I was a little off.
So I got deep in Mark Davis's petard, patoot, et cetera, et cetera. But Mark Davis and his cohorts, since being summarily humiliated by, I guess, their own Twitter accounts.
Yeah, homies.
I had noticed some pretty good officiating in the past week. I mean, they're still not calling traveling at all.
Well,
but I even saw Mark Davis, like, there was a late replay in a game that was meaningless, and he obviously went over, did not look at the screen, turned around, said, yeah, it's out of bounds.
They called,
which I was thrilled about.
They called traveling four times in like 16 minutes on Dwight Howard.
They're getting after
him. So they're just doing one person. They're picking a player a month to call traveling on.
No, I still think it's kind of all over the board, and I don't have a data set to back me up.
No.
Yeah, when are we going to get like sports view for refs?
Yeah, all anecdotally, the Grizzlies Timberwolves game, which went poorly for everyone involved.
Taj Gibson sashayed.
He did, but there were so many fouls they didn't call anything. It was just they were crushing each other, and it was like, all right, cool. This is one of those late season games where no one really cares.
Boy, let's never talk about that irritating. Yeah.
All right, well, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs best things, we have some questions submitted by our Patreon supporters. The croissant questionnaire.
Any questions?
Yes. Are you going to finish that croissant?
Knock yourself out.
This is an interesting one because at Monte World Peace first posited who is the most attractive player in the NBA today, but then the ever beloved at Teximista threw in very quickly there afterwards, oh yes, please answer this. 35 and over, ? Cutest smile, ? Best pure body, ? Best definition, ? Creamiest eyes, ? Cutest European, ? Cutest Australian, ? Best hair, and so on and so forth.
He said best calves.
Best calves.
And not Cleveland.
No, best calves.
C-A-L-V-S-E-S. I'm sorry.
I gotta admit, I haven't looked at a lot of calves. Now, I can tell you that the aforementioned Dwight Howard has the most frightening shoulders.
Oh, he's...
Ray Allen had some great calves.
Did he? Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
let's answer to us, admittedly straight men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, whatever.
We're all on the spectrum.
It's a spectrum.
So, the question being, who is the most attractive player in the NBA today?
Hmm.
I know mine.
I mean, I think Al Horford appeals to everyone.
All over the spectrum.
The androgyny there. I gotcha. That works.
I think he's very, very attractive.
I got it.
I mean, Chan Kun's right there staring at us through his Instagram account.
You're speaking my language.
I can't remember which... I said this on a podcast. I don't know if it was ours or someone else's. My favorite guy in street clothes...
Right.
I like DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh.
When you see DeMarcus Cousins just grinning, smiling...
This makes so much sense.
Does it make sense now, Chuck?
It does. The loathing.
You look.
You know, I've talked about how like anytime I see a woman who is better looking than my girlfriend, I reflect something like, "Oh, what a piece of crap! I hate
she
her.
Must suck.
She's the worst.
She looks so privileged."
Boo.
Yeah, I get that. her teams don't win.
Russell Westbrook's got a killer bod.
Yeah,
he's got that Ninja Turtle face that kind of ruins it.
Man, you know, if I had to pick a guy. You know, and it's not like right now.
That's literally the question, Chuck.
He's young, but I think he's going to age well. I think Kyle Kuzma. He's going to turn into a hot dude.
He looked like Dragon Ball Z.
He kind of looks like the Backpack Kid.
He looks like the Dragon Ball Z. He does look like the Backpack Kid. Mm-hmm. But he looks like the Dragon Ball Z character that wears the turban. He's terrible looking.
No, I think he's going to age well. He's got like a weird young face. He's going to age
well. So you say Kuzma. I say Boogie. John, who's his name?
Slam Dunk, if I have to pick one. Well, I want to say, I've heard Joel Embiid thrown in this. I don't think he's good looking. He looks terrifying
to me. He's fine. He's fine. He's a physical specimen.
He's not for me.
Yeah. I don't want any of these
pituitary gland guys. You know, I'm in this for the long haul. I don't want a guy who's cashing out at 45.
Yeah. Well, I want somebody that's going to stick with me because he knows he doesn't have anything else. So I'd go with Dario Saric.
Let's go with Khal Drogo, Steven Adams.
Actually,
Let's go with Khal Drogo, Steven Adams. He's also funny, and I'm finally getting over the Z-Bo punch thing.
Personality-wise?
I feel like that's the guy. He's the dreamiest to me. He's the most attractive I'm full stop all around.
I'm on. Yeah. Okay. We can all agree.
All Zeebo's right. Not bad either.
Zeebo.
Anyway,
Zeebo, very lovable.
What's that? What's our next question?
At Sam Wilkinson asks, because of the Warriors' injuries this year, will the Rockets be recognized as one of the all-time teams if they eventually win it all, or will fickle NBA fans always suspect that all the injuries in Golden State are the only reason Houston broke through?
I mean, we're going to say that the Cavs lost the first year against the Warriors because Kyrie was out.
You mean because of Tony Allen's hamstring? Yes.
I feel like if Sam is onto this, and no disrespect, Sam,
no,
then certainly the talking heads will be all over this.
I mean, it's a talking point.
I don't think there's any way the Rockets are going to be recognized if they win the title as an all-time great team, unless they do so in a dominant fashion.
Yeah.
They'll have to do like a 16-1 type thing in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, no. I mean,
they're going to be a team that won a championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they win.
He also brought up at the end, some fans bring up that Houston's championships were only enabled by Jordan's absence. I remember that because I'm a serious NBA fan, but I think that is slowly drifting away.
No, I think that's the common perception.
Still?
Even though
Rockets
fans point out that they dominated the Bulls in their two matchups. But you can't draw that much. You know, it's hard to say.
I guess I would say, yeah, people are going to pick on this one.
Yeah, Houston won those.
Which is too bad. Houston is incredible.
It wasn't It wasn't Jordan being gone. It was the Mafia having its day.
That's what
it was. That's why Houston won those two.
At Monte World Peace asks, I found myself repeating things from your podcast and conversations with coworkers and loved ones. I've come to terms with it. If you had to have something from your show become a catchphrase, what would it be?
I mean, I say hey now, and would be perfect if it became a catchphrase.
That's because Hank Kingsley.
It's been stolen twice. No, it's the Howard Stern doing Hank Kingsley. So it's repurposed multiple times. It's upcycled.
That's going to drive
me insane. I don't feel like we have a catchphrase.
No, we don't have a catchphrase. Arrive safely. Like... hey, fast break, break fasters.
Well, that's just from an ad.
Yeah, but it's iconic.
Get off the counter, Norbert. Get off the counter, Norbert. Yeah. That's just like a one thing, but we don't repeat it.
Yeah.
Just Norbert with 3 exclamation points.
Yeah.
Need grease, Dwayne Bacon.
Need be, yeah.
I want to make that our catchphrase, but...
we need one.
I feel like I've made an effort not to have a catchphrase.
Yeah.
What about the Tony Allen
failing
soundbite?
I never apologize
for being G&G.
That works for me.
Works for
Fat
me.
Break.
He understands. I don't know. Yeah, I don't feel like
you guys shouldn't try to do a Tony Allen impression.
I feel like that's something that our Patreon supporters should tell us what they consider to be our catchphrase. I don't
hit us up.
I can't think of
it. Let us know. If we have a catchphrase, let us know what it is.
Yeah.
If we need a catchphrase, let us know to do that. We'll get right on it.
I've listened to the episodes and I do this thing where I get excited about it and I go, "It's insane." Like that.
See, but I didn't even notice that. Thing. And I listen to the.
Yeah. I have a very low IQ, so I tend to repeat myself. So I should have a catchphrase.
Me too.
I think just Chuck saying things umami. Taste like umami works for me. if we could have like visual, if we ever take this video podcast, just me stink eyeing people.
Oh, John, just shaking his head when a pun is used.
Just endless stink eyeing, and oftentimes accidental stink eyes. I'm just experiencing a shooting pain somewhere in my ravaged body,
or gas.
And taking it out on the world, or gas.
So, if you're listening, let us know what you might think that catchphrase could be.
Yeah.
Or if you want to submit a question, become one of our Patreon supporters at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. By joining our Patreon, you get access to exclusive bonus content. You can join the Slack, which isn't for everyone, but it's for some people who are on there constantly talking around the clock. And obviously, it is the best way to support our show. So support us, get more content at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. One more time, patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Breakfast.
I liked the passive aggressive constantly.
No, thank you for your support. Thank you for your support. It means the world.
The best thing about the Slack is that because it's in so many time zones, if you're bored, you can always just check in and someone's talking about basketball.
Usually, or something terrible.
Something. That's
but we keep
Chuck's
that,
in there, something horrendous.
We keep that aside. If you want to talk basketball 24/7, there's a person either in Europe or the West Coast of the United States that can help you.
I've sent prizes to 5 countries now.
Yeah.
I should have thought that over before I decided to send prizes there. Holy crap, shipping.
So hit us up, patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. All right, steak and eggs, best thing. What's the best thing you saw?
We got a number. You remember last week we were talking about how much an NBA player should spend on his body? I finally got a number for
LeBron. Million.
For LeBron James.
$1.5 million.
He spends $1.5 million a year on his body. We're talking about hyperbaric chambers, cryotherapy, Normatec leg boots. He has personal chefs,
are
trainers.
Are those like those jumping dunk moon boots that we used to all wear?
No, those are the boots in Star Trek VI.
Yeah. Oh, with the purple blood.
Yeah. But yeah, like, so LeBron, arguably the greatest at his age at this point, you know. Nobody's really been 33 and dominating like he's been doing this year.
Certainly not.
After 15 seasons, he's had a 15...
Talking on whole teams at Christ's age.
Oh, my goodness. Brooklyn no longer is a borough.
Whoa.
It has been turned into New Jersey.
It's like the Cloverfield monster.
It is.
Tearing his way through Brooklyn.
T.J. Miller's running around screaming.
But, you know, like, LeBron's had effectively a 15-year peak, you know? And he's looking incredible. He doesn't look like he's going to slow down. And, you know, it's a scary, scary time. And that's, you know, my best of the week. We find out some news. There's some numbers after talking about last week.
Both the youngest and oldest NBA player to have 2,000 points, 500 rebounds, and 500 assists in a season, doing it at age 20 and at age 33.
Insanity.
Currently. I think he's averaging his career high in rebounds and assists. Is that right?
It's 2008 LeBron. He's 27 points, 9-something rebounds, 8-something assists. He's looking like a monster. And it's effortless now. The game's just so slow. And he's not making, well, he was the first player ever to have, 15 assists and zero turnovers. 35 plus points, 15 assists plus, and zero turnovers.
Completely insane.
That is not, it's just not natural.
Completely and now insane. That Kevin Love's back, they're actually winning some games.
Yeah, that's weird. Kevin Love's doing backstrokes on the floor when he doesn't get, you seen that?
I have not seen that. I don't know the reference.
Yeah. He was on. Like, he missed a shot and just basically landed on his back and did a fake backstroke on the court.
What a lovable loser!
He's such a loon, but I like him.
I do too.
Yeah, we'll meet him down in Kokomo.
Wrestling fan.
He's a good guy.
Well, my best thing is the revenge tour of Trey Burke. It's not even really a revenge tour. It was a revenge tour. He took apart the Washington Wizards. In a very dispiriting loss for the Wizards and for the Knicks, who are tanking. So Trey Burke has been handed the keys, a cast-off.
He might be tank commander general right now.
Been handed the keys of the car. And so I was going to talk about him dispatching his former team, the Washington Wizards, who always needed a backup point guard, and released him. So he beats the Wizards, but not one day later. He puts up 42 points and 12 assists against the Hornets. How in the world?
Well, he also did it while giving up a hellacious game to Kemba Walker, so maybe that answers its own question.
They did, in fact, lose the game, yes.
Yes, they did.
But 42 points, 12 assists for a guy who was just washed out of Utah, washed out of the Wizards.
He's on, like, this is like a 10-day contract type guy as far as where he sits on the league. It's pretty amazing. And he's been doing this, like, a month ago he was nothing like this. But he's been putting up some numbers every once in a while. He's got to be the weirdest hot and cold player there is right now.
He is definitely, I think, the weirdest player who has ever gotten 42 points and 12 assists in a game. And what is that song?
Whoa,
Dinklage,
Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Leader Hurtleage, Leader Hurtleage.
Game of Scones. This is pretty straightforward, guys. I think you're going to do great. There are 27 other players besides Trey Burke who have had at least 42 points and 12 assists in a game. Who are they?
I'll go with Michael Jordan.
That's correct. He has done it one more time than Trey Burke.
I want to say Russell Westbrook.
No.
What?
Oh.
This
is nonsense.
Russell Westbrook, not on the list.
Let me throw fire on that MVP argument then. James Harden.
James Harden. Yes.
Uh-oh. Mm. Stats don't matter until they do. Am I right, Ringer NBA staff?
I'll go with Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. Yes.
LeBron James.
Yes.
Allen Iverson?
Yes.
Yeah. Mad that you took it out of my head.
Mm.
Larry Bird?
Yes.
Isaiah Thomas?
That is correct.
the old one.
Let's do...
Oh, yeah, yes. Of course.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain. Yes, one time.
Ooh.
Same number as Trey Burke.
Wow. Hey, now.
That's insane. Let's do Kobe Bean Bryant.
Correct.
The correct way of putting that answer forth was Kobe.
Kobe.
Let's do Oscar Robertson.
Oscar Robertson, so many times.
I would imagine so.
So many times.
Let's go with John Stockton.
42 points from John Stockton.
I don't know if he's ever scored 42 points.
Complete maniac.
Two strikes.
Two strikes for Chuck.
I want to stay unblemished. Let me stay unblemished.
The unsullied.
I'm going to go with... Dominique Wilkins.
Nope.
Ah!
Strike for John.
So let's do...
Get one so I make sure we say this one guy that we always say.
42 points and 12 assists.
Let's do Scottie Pippen.
That is not correct.
No, that's three strikes. We didn't get to say Alex English.
Oh, Alex English.
He might even be on the list.
Alex English is not on the list either.
Fat Lever.
We have
Magic's probably on it.
We have two players. So John wins.
Yeah.
We have two players who are still active in the NBA.
Really?
One of them is your boy,
Dirk.
Dwayne Wade.
Dirk, do it.
Nope. Vince Carter.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Here's the total list. Alvin Adams, Michael Adams, Kenny Anderson, Tiny Archibald did it a ton.
Oh, yeah.
Gilbert Arenas, Vince Carter. These are the ones we didn't get. Kevin Johnson, Bernard King, Pete Maravich.
Bernard King passed 12 times in a game.
Stephon Marbury, Tracy McGrady, Steve Nash, Antoine Walker. And then the ones that you guys were not going to get.
Antoine Walker.
Ramon Sessions, who I think might fall into the Trey Burke category.
I think he's technically active.
Oh, he is active, I think. Oh, yeah. And then a guy named Charles Scott and Guy Rogers. So that was kind of, you guys did pretty good.
Tony Delk?
No Tony Delk, unfortunately. Tony Delk, I assume, had no assists in his famous 50-point game. So Trey Burke, you have impressed me with your gaudy statistics that had not translated to winning.
Well, let's talk about another young player doing things in the NBA. Against the Nuggets, a Sixers player showed incredible contributions on both sides of the ball, really athletic defensive plays, command of the offense, and maybe, just maybe, he should never, ever, take a jump shot. I am, of course, talking about Ben Simmons.
The old switcheroo.
But really, Fultz debuted. We have to talk about it. It was fun. He shot 13 times in 14 minutes. The first one was an air ball, but then he made, that like hezzy jumper late.
Jimbo.
But all I can think about is why hasn't he played?
I was mainly thinking about how they were cheering him like the walk-on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rudy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at that. Look at that. That 15-foot jumper bounced around the rim four times and everybody lost it. Like, what is this? Is that the equipment manager?
That's just good teammatery.
One overall pick?
The drama. Yeah, like we forget that this guy was the consensus.
Embarrassment of riches in Philly.
But what is he going to turn into? Top shelf ceiling. What do we think?
I mean, I'm just so confused by the whole situation that I'm scared to say anything.
I'm still, again, not watching college, hearing he was a consensus number one, seeing him play really well in one summer league game, and now seeing this. Like, it's a total loss. Like, what is he going to be as an NBA player? Right. They were so excited about his first game. And obviously, to me, I'm like, that guy, I don't know. I don't see.
Well, so I think if they allow him to play and he gets to play serious minutes, the problem is, can he do anything if he doesn't have the ball in his hands? And Ben Simmons obviously needs the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
Because he can't shoot either, which is another thing. Ben Simmons can't shoot at all. Why keep Markelle Fultz on the bench all year? Because he can't shoot. I guess, is this why?
But I think because Ben Simmons is awesome, and Markelle Fultz is not awesome.
Markelle Fultz is awesome. Watch that.
I've heard that.
Watch his 14 minutes.
Yeah,
he gets to the rim. He starts. It starts off shaky, but then after that, gets to the rim whenever he wants.
Against the Denver
Nuggets.
Gets by whomever he wants.
They made Dylan Brooks
against
Brooks
the Denver Nuggets
incredible.
Without Gary Harris.
Right.
They made the Grizzlies look incredible.
but really, I mean, you have to be. This is a team where T.J. McConnell, who's another guy who can't shoot, is asked to play a huge role and isn't very talented at all. This has to be looked at as
T.J. McConnell gets a bum rap for being a scruffy looking white guy. He's a okay NBA player. He's a fine NBA player.
Yeah, so we can.
I don't feel like I said anything that wasn't that. But.
No, yeah, I think we're all on the same page. It's wait and see. We can't really claim him to be anything, in, you know, going forward. But that little blip seems like hope for Philly.
It's hope.
I mean, he had an awesome chase down block. He did things that are hard to do. But I just can't stop wondering, like, why now?
Because he walked into Brett Brown's office and says, "Coach, I'm ready. Put me in."
Right.
Which is literally a best. He's like, "All right, great. You're over your little psychological episode.
And
the yips are over?
Why
good to hear.
Why not now? Like, this is in time to get him a few games, like a series or two worth of run before they make to the playoffs, and he can get a little.
No, it is good. You're right, Chuck.
A little.
It's good that it's
comfort.
Now.
It's just so
have
bizarre.
A few games,
I mean,
to get him going.
This will always be a footnote in NBA history. It's.
Well, he decided.
This is the weirdest case of the yips ever.
But, and he decided that, well, it might not have been. He might have actually had an injury, and then that injury they took their time with.
He had an injury, and I can't pronounce it, whatever they called it.
Dropped shoulder.
This is like a weird.
Australoprothesis.
It was like, I feel like there was an X in there.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's good for him, big picture, that he had, you know, went through some of this kind of like, you know, hard. You know, living during his first year without actually having to play, it's going to give him a little bit of character, and I think it'll give him a little more, energy.
I never thought I would hear someone be able to turn what he's been through into a positive. But bravo to Chuck for trying.
No, I mean it's adversity.
I still don't get it. Like
it's adversity.
I'm still not convinced he does anything this year that even helps him. Yeah, it was an inspiring, fun one night, like where he came back.
No, I think you can get, you know, if he can give them a little bit of scoring on his own, you know, they're not going to run an offense.
There's
for him.
Weird things to read into because Brett Brown says no minutes restriction because he was not injured. That was something that has come up.
Really? No.
That's not why he was out.
He probably meant, you know.
I mean, he was.
He could be doing cardio.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, we'll see. It's an interesting story.
I got to say, the Sixers overall are an interesting story. Their entire, like, the process, you know, it's working. They're really good. They have a chance of getting up to the 3 seed.
Right.
They have, like, 6 of the best 3-man lineups in the NBA. I think the top 6 3-man lineups in the NBA are all Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
When Joel Embiid plays, he has a 14-point on-off, like, swap. They're plus 12 net rating when he's on the court.
When Joel Embiid focuses on defense, he is better than Rudy Gobert at defense.
He is
the best defensive player when he because this is a guy who's leaned on for tons of offense.
Uh-huh.
When he decided, like in the third quarter against the Nuggets, he just went, you know what? Nuggets, you're not scoring anymore.
Yeah.
You're not scoring. If you come anywhere near the paint, you're not making a shot.
Yeah.
And as we said, Ben Simmons, you know, can't shoot, but a transformational player.
Right.
Just incredibly fun to watch. Yeah. I love watching him play. And this, I guess, dovetails into my cream of wheat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having trouble enjoying the Sixers because of all of their crazy fans taking victory laps.
Yeah.
Like, guys, yes, you have two awesome, exciting players.
Look, when you've
let's take a step back.
That long, can't you let them have their?
They can have fun. I'm trying to let them have fun,
right?
But taking a victory lap for you chose to lose for 4 consecutive years, and now, like, you know, you're in contention for home court advantage in the Eastern Conference. You'd be in a playoff battle if you're in the Western Conference. The victory lap is premature. I'm happy we can all enjoy this. But more importantly, John, you're infringing on my enjoyment. Just let me watch these guys and be like, this is really cool without being so annoyed with the victory lap. And again, I'm trying to understand they've been through hell.
Mm-hmm.
They're Andy Dufresne crawling through the tunnel of sewage to get out of the Shawshank prison. And they finally,
dare you, Ben Simmons, Bill Simmons, this podcast.
They've finally emerged.
But I think that.
But I'm having trouble with, like, the process worked. Who could possibly doubt it? It's like, guys, you've won 100 games in five years.
All they had was hope for a very long time.
They still have hope, and it's fun.
And now that hope is true. No, it's not just hope. It's potential. You know, it's the actual transformation of hope into something that is looking good on the basketball court.
And that's awesome.
They're 18-1 at home in the calendar year 2018.
You also have to remember.
Awesome. Again, they're playing great.
they missed two seasons of Embiid, a whole season of Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
And now, essentially, another season of the number one consensus overall draft pick in one of the better draft classes we've seen in recent memory.
Yeah.
So this is still, like, a bizarre situation.
No, it is. It's
nothing
incredible.
Is normal in Philly.
It's
still.
Never been normal. Ever since Rocky.
I'm just saying, celebrate it without movie. Like trying to rub it in the faces of others.
They're not rubbing.
I'm gonna send. I'm gonna send Keith a version of that Creed scene where he's running down the street with the Meek Mill song and everybody popping wheelies on the ATVs. Only over Adonis Creed's head, it's Sam Hinkie's head.
Just to
push Keith up.
I love.
Edge.
Oh man, talking with those guys, the Super Hoopers.
Who are they?
I loved their theory. That Hinkie got out, he forced his own exit because he knew it was kind of peak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was a probability man, and the probability was he will be remembered the best if he got out right when he got out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, those Super Hoopers guys, they dragged my name in them. I don't know if you heard that.
Super Troopers? I love that film.
Yeah. It might as well be the.
He did.
Candy bars.
They said you two were the comedy podcast godfathers, and I wasn't.
Uh-oh, what happened?
I just shot him shade on the internet.
They were making jokes, Chuck.
I don't know.
A couple comedians.
Hey, first of all,
it's very solemn.
I'm the only comedian that gets to barely watch basketball and pretend like he knows what he's talking about. Okay, you guys are coming on my turf with that. Okay, you better watch some ball and give some stats to people, not just make up puns. That's my life.
Is this your worst thing, Chuck? What's your cream of wheat?
I guess it's that.
All right, fine.
I'm over it.
I'm not gonna punch.
I'm not gonna punch down, guys. You know, they're not. They haven't been. You know, whatever. We've been in these streets for 4 years, building a reputation, and they're gonna come here and sully my name. My name is my name.
We're still talking about Super Troopers. You know, the second one comes out on 4/20 this year. That's a delightful bit of marketing.
Is that because of weed?
I don't know. Candy bars. Did you know that scruffy little like Nudnik? In Super Troopers, who gets arrested at the beginning, is married to the big bosomed woman from Mad Men.
Yeah,
what in the world?
Do you want another crazy bit of info?
The kid
who played Gordon Bombay in the beginning of Mighty Ducks, young Gordon Bombay who missed the triple deke.
Yes,
he is now basically running the biggest tech startup in the world that's supposed to. Organize cryptocurrency into the newest decentralized
this
market.
All goes back to my actors are evil geniuses thread. Mm-hmm.
That payoff wasn't exciting as I hoped.
Yeah, no. I don't know the name of it. Dude, but he's incredible. He like threw his wedding was at Burning Man.
Whoa.
And his
is this from season 2 Silicon Valley?
No, this is effectively this guy is a character from Silicon Valley.
He's got blood bags.
If you watch John Oliver on cryptocurrency, and this guy's incredible. You should watch him.
Shout out Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Cryptocurrency. I still don't know what you are.
No, you never will.
Is that how I buy games on Xbox Live?
It's just blockchain. Blockchain. Just keep repeating blockchain whenever somebody brings up cryptocurrency.
Is that what you did to me on Twitter that time I made fun of your hairline?
Decentralized.
You blockchained me?
Decentralized banking.
Oh, my God.
Freedom.
Well, you're making me feel old.
Yeah.
Speaking of making me feel old on Twitter, at BlazerBoar 42069 saga is ready to be told.
Ooh.
Oh, is this your worst thing,
this
John?
Is my worst thing.
Oh, no. I wonder who's
bring everyone up to speed on Blazer Boy.
So, Blazers Outsiders had a competition to have a television co-host, guest host, I guess. And in a fit of boredom, I turned on my Predator vision on my new computer, which I can't tell you how elated I was to find out that my photo booth app, not only could it take a video. It has Predator vision.
Yeah, you don't sound old at all.
Since I'm super old, I've pulled in my plants because of an oncoming freeze that was all in there. So I decided to do a parody of what I think Blazer fans should be like. I'm sure they're not like that, but
they're not all Southern.
Blazer Boy here.
Blazer Boy is definitely from Tuscaloosa.
Blazer Boy doesn't live in Portland.
I know he doesn't.
Blazer Boy does not live in Portland.
He doesn't need to be.
Which is too bad.
And I planned, you'll learn that very clearly soon. Mm-hmm. I plan to unfurl his entire history as we go. But Blazers Outsiders liked the character and invited Blazer Boy to come to the luxury suite for the Rockets Blazers game. So, like a good podcast host, I tried to fabricate my identity so that one of our Portland area listeners could go to the game.
There's so much plausible deniability.
All he had to do was say that he was Blazer boy
because they couldn't tell.
So he
shout out Joe Yoder.
So Joe Yoder.
Joe Yoder.
Well, my understanding is Yoder goes up to the game. He's like, I got two tickets for Joe Yoder, and the person looks at him and says, are you Blazer boy? to which poor Yoder says, No, I'm not
Blazer boy.
Which he must be related to Chuck.
Oh, look, I'm just a guy.
Only Chuck can do it. But so Yoder, in a fit of honesty, says he's not Blazer boy. He says the woman who works for whatever it is,
the Blazers,
NBC Northwest, yeah, whatever it is, yeah, was devastated, mm-hmm, crestfallen.
And she wanted to let him in, but
she wanted to meet the real Blazer boy.
Yeah. Apparently, you're
Jacqueline Humphrey is her name. A very beautiful, very nice lady.
She's incredibly gorgeous.
I ended up talking to her, trying to get Yoder in through my fake Blazer boy 420.
Well, also, we got to say that I posted the video on the Fast Break Break Twitter account. They messaged me and was like, hey,
who is this guy?
Can you get us in contact with Blazer boy? and so John sets up his Gmail. I'm like, oh yeah, that's Blazer boy. You can reach him at blazerboy 420 69 at gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
So I told her I ended up having to work at the pizza joint, so I sent my boy Joe. Please let him in. If he can't get in, it's all good though. Blaze it.
Blaze it. He wrote Blaze it. It's my favorite thing that's ever happened to the podcast.
I like that Joe could not lie to her.
I mean, on top of all that,
all you had to do was say, yes, I am Blazer Boy.
The story of the Blazer Boy saga is incredible. Blazer Boy himself. John, this
the Blazer Boy was very funny video.
I mean, it was some of the funniest.
I kind of think you should have kept it up.
We should do a Blazer Boy every week.
We can't do a Blazer Boy segment now that we've already had the behind the scenes.
No, but who cares?
I don't know if Blazer Boy deserves to live or die. I don't have any Blazers gear that made it difficult.
No, but you built this world how bad of a gambler he is, which is just who you are in general.
That just seeps into everything.
I think if you did like two more Blazer Boy videos and then you could do a Blazer Boy died in a horrible accident.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible
Blazer Boy gets clipped by a gang. Oh, or pizza. A
horrible pizza oven accident.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Gets thrown in the oven.
Yeah.
Goodfellas style.
What was great about...
Right in the oven!
What was great
locks
about...
Locks himself inside a safe.
That ticket giveaway, we tried to give it to Joe Yoder and another Portland listener, Matt Sullivan. Matt was gonna go, except his wife had a child the day before. He was like, yeah, I'll go.
Golly.
So he
like
went
the
in
the day after his child was born.
The day his child was born, he was like, hey, you want these tickets for tomorrow? He's like, yeah, I'll go. So he goes to his wife who just had a C-section, who's probably drugged up.
Points
goes,
to Sully, hey. After the child was born, he was like, yeah, I'm still gonna go.
I'm still gonna go. 100%.
And I was like, whoa.
I was like, man.
So you are amazing. Then 12 hours later, he's like, no, dude, I'm not going.
Yeah, and then the text thread we had was like, there's no way he's going to that game. His wife had a baby today.
Oh, Chuck explained, like, cesareans and, like, the insides coming out.
Yeah, it's
and,
a major surgery.
I threw up.
She was probably drugged out of her mind if she agreed to it. But, yeah, it was an incredible behind-the-scenes look at Blazer Boy and all that wonderfulness that it entailed.
I'm sorry Blazer Boy will not make it to local television.
Or
regional TV.
I mean, I don't know.
It's amazing. Blazer Boy was chosen as a finalist.
It's pretty good.
That's insane.
I mean, clearly it was the best video they received.
I mean,
it was very funny.
It's some of the
check out our Twitter account if you need to find that Blazer Boy video. I'll direct it to you if you need it. All right. Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered, Thoughts. What other things have been going on in the NBA? I'll say the Charlotte Hornets kind of started winning some games.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of beat my Grizzlies by 61.
Oh.
That took them from being 8 games under 500 with a negative point differential to having a positive point differential for the year.
That's insanity.
So again, it's another Hornets good, you know, good point, good net rating, bad record for a couple years in a row. Well, I don't know how you judge those. I know Ben Falk with Cleaning the Glass throws out garbage time for his stats.
Mm-hmm.
When does garbage time start in a 61-point blowout? When you're down 12-2.
The fourth quarter.
And end up losing. I don't think it has to stretch out of the fourth quarter. It was a 50-point game in the third, I think.
Mm. I'm less upset about getting blown out by 60 than by beating the Timberwolves. That's more upsetting to me.
It's so perverted this season. No, the down is up and up is down.
The swings I'm having in gambling are insane.
Yeah.
Because now I've sort of figured out these enormous spreads that I'm getting back up, but I'm like gun shy and terrified. And every spread is like 10 points.
Yeah, it is a weird.
And it's just torture.
The pickle.
Well, I think since January 1st, 19 of the teams are over 500 in the NBA, which shows you the bottom 10 are losing all their games to be able to sustain that many teams with the winning record.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and do the Grizzlies epilogue now then, since you're going to be a jerk and bring up that nightmarish experience that is Grizzlies fandom right now. So not only do you get to lose by 60 to a team that was not even playing the suspended Dwight Howard.
Well, they got that Willie Hernan Gomez boost.
But they turn around and now aren't even on top of the Tankathon standings. How do you lose by 60 and lose your Tankathon spot in concurrent days? How do you do that?
Because you only lose by 60 once. Like, it doesn't carry over to the next game. Why you don't start the next game.
A team is never more dangerous than they are coming off a 61-point loss.
Apparently so.
Look it up. The Grizzlies, their only two wins in their last 25 games were against the Nuggets and Timberwolves, who are battling for the 8 seed.
God.
Nuggets falling apart.
It just continues.
The Nuggets aren't going to win.
I don't want to play
any games.
Any more good teams or teams with winning records.
Yeah.
Because we will destroy them.
Well, the Grizzlies are 2-0 against the Timberwolves this year. They've won like 5 of 6.
If we played the Rockets, Wayne Selden scores 45
Why
points.
Why isn't...
Wayne Selden is kind of good. Like,
yes.
His last 6 games, he's like 16
shooting
points.
Shooting 50% from 3 last 6 games.
I was pointing out that if you told me before the season, hey, Chandler Parsons is going to shoot 40%, 42% from 3, Tyreek is going to shoot 40%, and Wayne Selden is going to shoot 39%. I'd have been like, Grizzlies are good. Grizzlies are good.
They'll be a good team.
But they're bad.
No, they're awful.
Very, very bad. I mean, they're also playing these terrible lineups. They are doing that. It's really weird. Like, the Grizzlies, the Timberwolves game, they finally settled into playing like a real normal lineup, which is Dylan Brooks and Wayne Selden and Andrew Harrison. Andrew Harrison, by the way, has been good this year. He's raised his shooting percentage 10 percentage points.
Too bad he just lost his job to Marshawn Brooks, 10-day contract.
Yeah. That is pretty funny.
Well, let's just go through it, man. Grizzlies play the Blazers. They're going to win.
I can't even predict that. Yeah,
Jazz are going to win. Blazers win. Pelicans maybe win. Then we're going to play the Kings. Lose. Pistons. Pistons might be too good. That might be another big Grizz W.
And by the way,
they're going to kill me. The Grizzlies are trying to kill me.
That Kings game, if you're in the Nashville area on Friday, April 6th, our final Grizzlies watch party of the year at Double Dogs. Sylvan Heights.
That's going to be a bizarre experience because not only do we sort of want to root for Zach and Vince already, but now we literally have to root for them.
Yeah. Let's take it away from the Grizzlies. Back to, I want to talk about Lonzo Ball. As much as I've loved the Lakers, they're kind of stumbling around.
Second halves.
Lonzo Ball in his last 8 games, he's pioneering a new club.
Torture porn.
The 27-15-30 club.
Oh, God.
27-15-30, which is, again, 27% field goal percentage, 15% from three and 30% from the foul line.
Ooh.
The 30% from the foul line might be the most concerning. Like, a lot of rookies have had terrible shooting percentages. The foul line, that's
so that
brutal.
Guy gets to run around shooting all year, and Markelle Fultz has to wait till now? What's going on?
I think I realize, though, I've mentioned many times how I really, really like Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, he's fun.
I think I've determined the greatest player comp for him. Looked up the Basketball Reference player comparison.
Is it Ricky Rubio only wearing a jetpack?
Lonzo Ball and Nick Calathes. Their stats are so similar. All right, per 100 possessions, who do you think has more points per 100 possessions?
It's got to be
Calathes or Ball.
It's got to be Ball.
It's Calathes.
Calathes.
15.5 to 14.1. Who has more steals per 100 possessions?
Ball?
No. Nick Calathes. 3.4 to 2.4.
Oh my goodness.
Who has more assists per 100 possessions?
Ball.
It is Ball. 10.1 to 9.3. Field goal percentage. Obviously, Nick Calathes is higher.
Is Lonzo doing anything besides passing better than Nick?
3-point rate.
Probably blocks.
Is better. Blocks is better. But they're very similar. Very comically similar. They're per 36.
He just needs to follow some advice.
Nah, he doesn't. He's scared. He's there's a
3-point percentage, of course, very similar.
There's somebody floating around the Lakers organization that's putting the fear of God in Lonzo's heart, and it's James Worthy. I don't know if you've listened to the clip of James telling him what to do with the basketball.
Stick it one time.
Just stick it.
I have not.
It's kind of great. I'll send it to you.
Hey, take it to the hole and stick it one time.
Big game wants you to stick it one time.
I want you to take it in there and stick it hard, baby.
Yeah, we'll see that in Detroit.
I know you can do it. I've seen you do it. Take it in there and stick it hard, man. Stick it.
All right, I got you.
All right. That's
oh, dear. That was...
Now that's
that
real.
Was uncomfortable.
I think Big Game James is right behind Sam Perkins as my favorite pundit.
You couldn't see that on the podcast, but Lonzo's face on the video clip is incredible.
Stick it, stick him, stick him. He looked like Big Baby Davis when those agents burst in at the Hampton Inn, Chuck.
Oh man,
how did we forget to talk about that? That should be this is our collective apology for forgetting to talk about. Glenn Big Baby Davis getting busted at a Hampton Inn for having a ton of weed and cash, and then making a video in a tiny personal jet while eating Kentucky Fried Chicken. How did
Popeyes.
We miss that? Oh, like, was it Popeyes?
Like a supervillain.
Has Popeyes taken over KFC in like the zeitgeist?
No. I don't know. How's that Reba McEntire commercial sitting with the popular people?
Thank you.
No. But Popeyes is by far the better. If you got to make three choices, it's Popeyes, Church's, and KFC. Popeyes is Beyonce and the other two of the other girls.
I haven't had Church's in so long. I remember it being not as crispy and having maybe more like not spices, but more like seasoning.
The thing with Church's, like any fast food restaurant, it all depends on the location. So I've had great Church's, I've had great Popeyes, I've had poor Popeyes, I've had poor Church's.
I like KFC the most, here's why. Popeyes is spicy, but it also has that soap aftertaste.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
You never get that?
Well, you don't like cilantro?
No, I like cilantro. Okay, don't make this a cilantro thing.
Okay.
This is not a genetic fault of mine. Chuck just broke the chair! Chuck broke the chair!
The chair was 3 years in the making of breaking. It finally did it.
The old wooden chair broke.
Gracious.
Well, we didn't talk about Big Baby Davis last week.
Get us out of the chicken
But we did break a chair.
I like that Glenn Davis got caught by screaming expletive at a hotel employee who knocked on his door.
Dude, Glenn Davis said a hotel's bad news.
That's the old don't run the red light when the dead body's in the trunk.
Yeah.
Just wait for the light to turn green.
I mean, and if you're being, you know, under investigation for, you know, selling a bunch of drugs, just don't like have a suitcase full of money next to you.
Or a very detailed ledger labeled drug deals. All right. I hope it doesn't negatively affect his big three contract. I was looking forward to him being in the big three this season, along with Chris the Birdman Anderson. Very, very excited.
Ooh, yeah.
Anyway,
what a rap sheet.
Let's move to the awards segment of the program, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award.
Let's get it.
Given each week to the worst performance in a box score. This week we have a couple of honorable mentions. Carl Anthony Towns, 3 for 15. Victor Oladipo and Terry Rozier, 4 for 16. We have three nominees as they occurred chronologically during the week. Kemba Walker in a win against the Nets, 6 for 25, 24 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, no turnovers, which is nice, 1 personal foul. James Harden in a win against the Pistons, 4 for 20.
Bam, 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 bam.
Oh, the light's going off for Chuck. 4 for 20, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 3 turnovers, 2 personal fouls.
Oh, no. Its other stats are too good to vote for the 420.
Paul George in a win against the Heat. 3 for 16, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 turnovers, 4 personal fouls. The ice shop is difficult this week because you have 3 all-stars all in wins, kind of having okay games outside of the terrible shooting stats. So Kemba Walker, 6 for 25. James Harden, 4 for 20. Paul George, 3 for 16.
Tiebreaker goes to drug reference.
Always.
James Harden
goes to the beard. I am legally bound to vote for any 420.
I think you're legally line. Compelled to stay away from that 420.
I got it. Yeah, the judge don't like it. But yeah, James Harden. It's if I didn't look at your shooting numbers, I would say that you had a decent below average game for you.
2 blocks, 2 steals. Come on,
it's Harden. That's amazing.
Paul George, you did play the most garbage overall. but you've done that for a couple games in a row. Him and Melo were 0-22 from three in two games.
RIP Melo.
Oof.
He's killing the Thunder.
He is. Yeah, he's not looking at all capable of contributing in the playoffs right now. But I'll probably apologize to that later.
So did you guys both vote James Harden for 420?
Smoke him if you got him. Blaze it.
I guess I'll go with Paul George. It's not unanimous.
Blaze it.
Kemba Walker, 6-25, but no turnovers.
That's kind of crazy.
It's kind of awesome. 24
points. This is a very strange eye shop week, but that's why we have our rubric.
When all else fails, bong rip.
Mm-hmm. Get it.
Before we give you guys our par fadeaways for the week, we're going to go ahead and thank our producer-level patron supporters. Let's give it up for Liam Green, Joshua Son of Herb, the Sulkowski Brothers, Chris Howell, Viraf Nariman, Sam Wilkinson, Paul Grommans, Ryan Darling, Damon Rangula, Bri Morningwy, and last but not least, friend of Blazer Boy, Ian Carmel.
And it's Zach and Kevin Sulkowski.
I know,
no reason to
Sulkowski
they're,
Brothers.
They're an individual.
They're two people.
They're the
there.
Twins from The Shining, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, man, John. No respect.
They haunt my hallways and my heart.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, par fadeaway, what things are we looking forward to in the coming week?
Yeah, there's only one thing I care about. When the Heat play the Caves.
The who now?
The Caves. The Cleveland Caves.
Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, John's wearing his Richard Slow jersey.
How about Richard Slow? You want to split the Sulkowski brothers.
Yeah.
You need to split Josh Deesh, Richard Slow, because they're both kind of good now.
They are two good players.
Richardson's the best Heat player. The best.
Okay. Well,
And
James
Justice
Johnson
Winslow
might disagree.
Has been good. Oh, he's better than James Johnson.
Yeah, Winslow's been killing.
Yeah.
He's averaging like 10 and 10 almost with almost two steals, almost two blocks.
He gets those rangy numbers I like, those James Johnson numbers.
He might have been involved in my first ever fantasy championship, as I talked about at the beginning of the show.
Oh, my goodness.
He's fine. Like his three-point shot's kind of, you know.
Oh, he's
dropping.
He's hitting his threes.
Dropping.
This is like kind of what I dreamed of as like his progression. He didn't.
It's not kind of what you dreamed of.
It is exactly what I dreamed of.
I know
of.
You dreamed of Kelly Olynyk averaging 18 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds over his last four games.
He's going nuts.
With Whiteside and Adebayo out, Kelly Olynyk starting center is a reality we all dreamt of.
I will
as
say,
white supremacists.
My par fadeaway is looking towards which Eastern Conference team is going to end up having to play the Sixers or the Cavs.
Ugh.
Which is losing big time. The Boston Celtics, which you haven't even mentioned this show.
Right.
Like, no Kyrie Irving in the first round, maybe even later.
Who needs him when you got T-Row?
T-Row had that one game, but then his other games were not good.
He was in the honorable mentions.
They do have a better winning percentage when Kyrie Irving does not play. So there you go.
That's weird.
I believe they're 10-4 now without Kyrie Irving.
Mm, kind of nuts.
I'm looking forward to these insane tankathon lineups.
Good.
Sign Marshawn Brooks off the street. Start him. Play Lance Thomas over your lottery pick point guard. Do it. Get weird. Show me the life of the mind.
It is. And that wraps us up. Little one, the little baby girl, has had enough of this podcast.
She can't listen
Doris
to us anymore.
Burke says, get out.
So we will get out of it. Support the program by going to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. You can like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @fastbreakbreak. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Yeah, no apologize for being TNG. Fast break, man. You understand?